appreciate the opportunity to stand up and preach this morning. I'm sorry for the circumstances. I know Brother Hal would love to be here. So I am going to take and the title of this sermon, and don't take this the wrong way, is The Lord's Answer Concerning Not Your Business. There's a lot of people that are busybodies and they're concerned about other things in this world, but there's only one thing we need to concern ourselves with, and that's everything about Jesus Christ and Him alone and what He tells us we need to do. John chapter 21 and verse 20 down through verse number 22. It says, Then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If it will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Verse 23. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but this is what Jesus said, If I will but he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this blessed day. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity where we're able to meet, fellowship together, to enjoy the church that you have given to us, that you gave your life for. We pray, Lord, that your word touches each and every one of our hearts today, that whatever the need be that we need convicting of, that we're convicted and we follow through with that conviction, and that we always put our faith and trust in you and not worry about what this world is doing, but trust that you have everything under control and there's nothing outside of your power that you cannot do. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 21, verse 20, I don't think people, when they read, sometimes people read scripture verses and they think it says something that it's really not saying. This may be one of them. But I'm going to explain to you what it's saying. And if you'll back up to John chapter 13 and verse 21, back up with me to John chapter 13 for just a few minutes. And beginning in verse 21, this is about Jesus foretelling his betrayal. It says, When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Now he's talking to his disciples at this point, his 12. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciple looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So there is a man, that's not Peter, but he's leaning on Jesus' bosom. And it says that Jesus loved this man. Simon Peter therefore beckoned unto him, the one that was laying on Jesus, he beckoned unto him, that he should ask who it is whom he spake of. So he's saying, okay, you ask Jesus who he's talking about that's going to betray me. And Jesus, and then he lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? So it wasn't Simon that said that. That was the man that was laying on Jesus' chest. Jesus said, It is he to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, he gave it to Judas, but they didn't realize that Judas was the one that was going to betray them. Now, back over in our text, in John chapter 21, in verse 20, here, well, I'm going to back up just to put you into the mindset of what Peter's thinking at this point. So, in verse 15, before verse 15, Jesus, this is after Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, he's seen of the disciples, he's seen of them a multitude of people. And then he comes and Peter jumps in the water and swims to him because he knows it's Jesus, he swims to him. They eat, the disciples there, they eat. And then Jesus has a conversation with Simon. And in verse 15 of John chapter 1, it said, 21, So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? So in other words, do you love me more than this job you have fishing? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Sometimes we say things to make people think that we believe something, but they want to know of a surety, is this really what you truly believe? Sometimes you say things, you really don't mean what you say. Here, the same question is asked again to Peter by Jesus. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, so Jesus said unto him again, Feed my sheep. Verse 17. Jesus said unto Simon Peter a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Verse 19 explains what he says in verse 18. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Peter again, Follow me. Now, verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper. So Simon Peter is looking at this man that leaned on Jesus' breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? He's saying what this man that leaned on Jesus said. He said, Who betrayeth thee? But Simon beckoned to ask him who it was. And so it says, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Well, God, Jesus, I'm going to say Jesus, God, they're the same people. He looked at Simon and gave him specifics. Simon said, Yes, I love you. Said it three times. But deep down, Jesus knew Simon's heart. Simon was looking at other people and what they should be doing concerning Jesus. Simon, looking at the man that said to Jesus, Who is it? He was looking at him, and Simon asked the question, Which is he that betrayeth thee? Simon asked, But Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Some people think he was talking about Judas. No, he was talking about the man he was looking at that was leaning on Jesus' his breast at supper, whom Jesus loved. He said, Okay, I know what you want me to do. What do you want him to do? What do you want this man? What's this man going to do? You ever have that mindset when you're in the Lord's work and you feel like you're doing these things and you have this mindset, you're thinking, you know, about what they should be doing? Lord, what, and you're asking the Lord, you know, because you think they should be doing something. But God is not concerned. I mean, He's concerned about them, but that's not your business. That's God's business. Jesus said to Peter in verse 22, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I know it's in there. Been there many times. First, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Why am I not finding it? before Peter. Come on. Huh? It's after Colossians? Colossians? Ephesians? There it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. In verse 11, it says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." It says, "Now, them that are such, we command and exhort," because obviously we see what people do, "command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat with their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." In other words, if you're doing everything, you're doing what the Lord has asked you to do, don't be weary because somebody else is not doing what they're supposed to do. "If any man," in verse 14, "if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him." In other words, don't do as he does. "Have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Often, people are concerned about what somebody else is doing, and they need some type of spanking. You know, they don't need a spanking. They need to be loved. Whenever these men brought this adulterous woman to Jesus, they wanted to stone her. Jesus said, "Well, neither do I condemn thee. Those without sin cast the first stone." Love. "Peter, feed my sheep. Don't worry about what this man is doing. You do what you're supposed to do. Children of God need to do what God has called them to do." Now here's something else. God is not the author of confusion. If you have many different churches teaching something different, is that God? God is teaching His Word. God is teaching His will. And you and I are to follow His Word and His will. If any other church is teaching something different, somebody is not following the will of God. We are not to be busybodies. We aren't to walk disorderly. We are to simply do what God has asked us to do. God asked Simon, "Feed my sheep. Don't worry about what this man does. You feed my sheep." In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 11, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 11, here, Paul is telling Timothy about how things should happen because of a certain reason. He says, "But the younger widows refuse, when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wanderers about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give a name occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." People say, "Well, that's chauvinistic." No, it ain't. God designed you to be a specific person. Not that the man is to be dominant over you, but He gave you a position. Worry about your position that God gave you. Men, worry about your position that God gave you. God told you, love your wives. Wives, God told you, love your husbands. Take care of your children. Worry about you. There are many shows that talk about gossip. You know why? Because people love gossip. That's not your business. Your business is what you do. As we read in the class this morning, we are all sinners. We are all in need of a Savior. None of us are righteous. If you're gossiping, that means you think you're better than somebody else. Jesus told Simon, don't worry about this man. I will take care of this man. When you were saved, God instilled in you a will of His will that you need to do. You're either going to follow that will or you're not going to follow that will. Don't worry about somebody else, what they should do. There's a lot of things I think people should do. That's not my business. What I think people should do is not what God's will is. So I don't need to think what people should or should not do. I need to worry about loving my family. You need to worry about loving your family. I need to worry about working in my church, serving the church or Jesus' church. You need to worry about serving Jesus' church. You need to worry about preaching to a lost and dying world that they need Jesus just like you needed Jesus. Psalmist David writes in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. If he's more worried about the Lord and concerning making the Lord happy, he's not going to have time to worry about what somebody else is doing. When I focus more on the Word, I focus less on this world and I'm happier. When I start focusing more on this world, I become unhappy. All I got to do is start watching the news and I'm going to get unhappy real quick. But when I pick up the Word of God, I become happy. My demeanor changes because I'm worried about the relationship between my Lord and between me. Not between the Lord and the relationship to somebody else, but my relationship. In Mark chapter 22 and verse 35, there was a lawyer tempting Jesus, and he asked him the question, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Well, we know the first one, love the Lord God, you read that. But that second one is the same as loving God. When he said, love your neighbor, not the one who you want to love, but you love all of them, any man you come across. A man laying who was beaten and robbed. Some priests, some supposedly Christian people wouldn't even get close to him. They didn't want to be defiled. Well, they were already defiled from the get-go when they were born. But there was a good Samaritan that came by, didn't know the man, took care of him, took him to an inn. Said, you know what, if he buys anything, if something happens, if he needs more money, when I come back through, I will pay it. He loved that man. He said, on these two commandments of loving God and loving your neighbor, these two commandments, you hang all the law. Don't worry about what this other person is doing. You love. If Jesus did not love, Jesus would not have died, and you and I would all, the one we talk about, including yourself, would burn in a devil's hell forever. Don't worry about what somebody else should be doing. You worry about what you should be doing. By the grace of God, there go I. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Beginning at verse number 1. Follow along with me. I love this reading. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not worry about presenting somebody else's body a living sacrifice. You need to worry about your body, a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. Holy according unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one for another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given thee, given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proper proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, and abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another, but with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing now shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Simon, son of Jonah, worry about you and feed my sheep. Don't worry about what somebody else should be doing or what you think they should be doing or try to live their life for them. You need to live your life. But you know what Simon did? Instead of thinking about what Jesus said, feed my sheep, he was thinking about what Jesus said. And he kind of altered what Jesus said. This is not what Jesus was saying. Jesus didn't say what Simon said. It says, then in verse 23 in our text, John chapter 21, verse 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that if that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, I didn't say that. That's not what I said to you. Isn't it a horrific thing to take the Word of God and alter what He says? I mean, this is not a really big thing here, but He altered what Jesus said because He was still in His frame of mind about some other man instead of worrying about what Jesus has just told Him to do. Well, this saying went abroad that he shall not die. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come. So in other words, if I allow him to stay until I come back again, what is that to thee? That is none of your business. You feed my sheep. You feed my lambs. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, when Jesus, before he ascended, when he came to the 12, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Don't worry about what they're doing, but you teach them all nations. Teach them what? Every word that I have commanded you. Every word out of the mouth of God. As Jesus told Satan in the wilderness, you cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, you teach them. You baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Let me tell you, when you look at this, people have taken this teach them, and they say, and they think they have to make them. No, you don't make anybody. Teach them the Word. God will convict them what they should do. Teach them the Word. When we come to church, we teach and preach the Word. You guys have comments on the Word. You comment on the Word. It's up to the Holy Spirit to tell you what you should and you should not do. Not my job. Mark 16. Again, I said, He said, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And in Luke 24:47, Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's what Jesus said to do. Preach the Word of God. Don't worry about what they're doing. I will control what they're doing. You do what you are simply told to do. Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. In Corinthians, verse 15, Paul talks about what we are to feed the sheep. 1 Corinthians 15:3, he says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. When I look at Isaiah 64:6, it says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Jesus came and died for me. Why am I concerned about what this person should be doing for Jesus? I should be concerned about what I should be doing for Jesus. He said that in verse 4 that he was buried, died, buried, and he rose again the third day. Jesus coming, Jesus dying, paying the sin price, and then God raising him from the dead shows that the payment was made. The payment was paid in full for you, and it was paid in full for me. I need to love Jesus the way Jesus loved me. Jesus had just been crucified, and Jesus is telling him, Peter, feed my lambs, and he's more concerned about what this guy should be doing instead of what the Lord is telling me to do. Romans 5 and 8 says, God commended his love toward us. Look at yourself individually. And that while we were yet sinners, Peter was a sinner. The man that laid on Jesus' breast at supper was a sinner. Judas Iscariot was a sinner. While we were sinners, it says, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what we are to do individually? I can't tell this person, repeat after me and be saved. You ever heard somebody say that? I have to repeat what the Lord is telling me in my heart that I need to confess my sins. I need to worry about humbling myself. I need to worry about how I stand before God. How somebody else stands before God is God's business between them and God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to stand on our salvation. We need to preach that salvation is by grace through faith to all men, to all sinners, and not worry about what they should be doing for Christ, but what we should be doing for the one that gave his life for us, that we might spend eternity in heaven. I asked you this morning, are you ready to follow Christ on your own? Or are you still worried about what somebody else should be doing? Are you thinking about what Jesus did for you? Or what Jesus or somebody else should be doing for Jesus? I think we should worry about what we should be doing instead of what somebody else should be doing. Let's stand and we'll have one verse of invitation.